Hey, very good afternoon. Checking in for a full 4-hour show. Really looking forward to having Lincoln Kennedy on with me as we start our weekly 1-hour shows involving the Raider Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. That will be from 6 to 7 coming up tonight. Looking forward to that. Lincoln Kennedy, he's such a great guy. Does a phenomenal job from the Raiders radio network and, of course, the former right tackle for the Oakland Raiders. So Link is going to be coming on with me during the 6 o'clock hour. We'll check in with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. He's going to be on at 3:30. And for you 49er fans, I've got the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Ted Robinson. He's going to be coming on at 4 o'clock. Very much looking forward to that. And then, as I said, our Raider Hour with Lincoln Kennedy coming up in the final hour of the show. We're with you, as I said, for the full 4 hours. We are inviting your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're gearing up for another big weekend of the National Football League, which starts tomorrow. We'll have that game for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK as the Jets and the Bills hook up in Buffalo. And, you know, always interesting when you get to week number two and you've got teams that lost in week one. And then all of a sudden it becomes a much bigger game because nobody wants to start off the season 0-2. Well, that's what is going to happen tomorrow. The Jets or the Bills tomorrow at about 8:30 Pacific time, one of those teams going to be 0-2. Yes, I know, barring a tie, but I'm not counting a tie, all right? So let's just say that one of these teams will be 0-2. Now, the rest of the schedule this week, and there are some very interesting games. Who's going to start quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings? Are they going to go with Hill? Or are they going to go with Bradford against the Green Bay Packers? Again, the Vikes opening up their beautiful new stadium. They did have a preseason game, but this is for real. Another excellent game on the schedule. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Right now, it looks like one of these two teams, and I say not based on what I saw in week one, but just based on everything in that division. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are in the driver's seat. I think when it's all said and done, one of these two teams will be standing atop the AFC North. Always fun when Cincinnati and Pittsburgh hook up. That's a very interesting game. NFC East, Dallas at Washington. One of those teams is going to start off 0-2. We know about the Raiders at home against Atlanta. As I said, we're going to devote an entire hour to the Raiders coming up at 6 o'clock. And then you've got San Francisco with a scheduling disadvantage already going up against Carolina. Just absurd, the scheduling in the NFL. Let's see how the Niners defense fares going up on the road at Carolina. That is a 10 a.m. start out here on the coast on Sunday. Those are some of the interesting games. You got Kansas City and Houston at Houston. Chiefs with that come-from-behind victory. You got the Texans who beat the Bears. And then there are the Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams at home against Seattle, who did not look good. Seattle did not look good in their win at home against Miami. Can the Rams play as badly this Sunday as they did on Monday night? I mean, is that really possible? Could you see a Rams team not scoring? Based on what I saw on Monday, yeah, I could see that. But, I mean, come on. Seattle, Los Angeles, the Coliseum is going to be off the hook. The Rams are back in L.A. The fans may be hoping that the Rams leave town real soon if they play this weekend the way they played on Monday night. They may get booed off the field. It's a big game for the Rams just to, you know, not embarrass themselves. Now, the good news for the Rams, again, the offensive line of Seattle did not look good against the Miami Dolphins. Russell Wilson has a tender ankle. That's got to be a real positive. But when you look at the Seattle Seahawks and you look at how poorly they played, particularly on offense. They didn't play poorly on defense. And here's the other deal. Do you know that when the Rams have played the Seahawks with Jeff Fisher and Pete Carroll as the coaches of the respective teams. Do you know what the record is in 8 meetings? 4-4. And in all of those years, Seattle has been the dominant team throughout 16, and yet the Rams have played the Seahawks to a record of 4-4 over those years. That's very interesting. All right. Practice for Russell Wilson today. Yes. He is on the path to start. I would be very surprised if he doesn't. Thomas Rawls will start at running back for Seattle. So we're getting you ready for week 2. Got a couple of big college games that we're going to go over as well. We got baseball. Here's the deal. If you can't beat the San Diego Padres, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. That's as simple as that. I mean, the Giants get swept by San Diego to start the second half, and they're very close to getting swept by San Diego again. Brutal. Absolutely brutal how you cannot beat the San Diego Padres. Now, this game's not over yet, but come on now. You cannot continue to play that poorly. Game after game, week after week, same old story. Bullpen is disastrous. It's awful. That game last night that the Giants lost to San Diego in the 9th inning, how many times have we seen that this year? You know what? We've seen it a lot. We've seen it a lot. And that's why, you know, you won't be seeing any parades in October or November in San Francisco this year. So if you want to comment on that, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you want to text the show, 44-1140. Somebody said, hey, is Rudy Gay getting traded? Internet is filled with rumors. The internet doesn't make trades. All right? The internet does not talk to Vlade Divac and the other general managers in the NBA. I don't pay attention to what's on the internet. Because the reality is, there have been rumors about Rudy Gay getting traded for now, what, 6 months, maybe more, correct? I mean, isn't this something that we have talked about repeatedly in this offseason? And so I don't really pay attention to it. Now, the one news on the Kings front, they did sign free agent point guard Jordan Farmar, which means that they now have depth at the point guard position. All right, you got Darren Collison. You now have Ty Lawson. You got Farmar. And you also have Garrett Temple, who can play in the backcourt. So what have we been saying all summer? Just wait until training camp opens. Just wait, just wait, just wait. You know, people say, well, gee, the Kings have no backup point guard. They have no backup point guard. They have no. I understand. All right? It doesn't matter if they don't have a backup point guard in June. Doesn't matter if they don't have a backup point guard in July. Doesn't matter if they don't have a backup point guard in August. All that matters is that when camp begins, a week from this coming Tuesday, or I should say a week from next Tuesday, this Tuesday is already in the books. In 13 days when the Kings open up training camp, they will have the point guards. All right? So the team is set, I believe. Now, back to trades. Yeah, I could see any player on the team being traded. And so, I mean, let's not just think that the team is set and there will be no moves. And nothing would surprise me with this team. Nothing would surprise me at all. So could Rudy Gay be traded? He could be. I don't pay attention to the rumors on the internet at all. That's all they are. You know, I don't put a lot of validity into that. You know, we'll find out what Rudy's thinking on Media Day, which is coming up a week from Monday. And we'll talk to Rudy, and I guarantee you that will be the number one question asked of Rudy Gay a week from Monday. And the number one question will be, Rudy, do you want to be in Sacramento? Rudy, are you happy here? Rudy, are you good to go this year? Those will be the questions asked on Media Day. And we'll see how Rudy Gay handles that. We'll see what frame of mind he's in. He's got 1 year left on his deal. And time will tell. Time will tell. But, you know, again, here we are on September 14th. You're less than 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. I'm not getting too bent out of shape on that right now. I mean, Vlade Divac made this very clear at the hiring of Dave Yeager at his press conference. You're either in or you're out. And, you know, Dave Yeager, he'll figure out in a real hurry. The guys that want to play and the guys that think they want to play and the guys that say they want to play but don't show that they want to play. All right? Dave Yeager will find that out in a hurry. All right? He's got a lot of history with Rudy Gay. He has a lot of history with some of the players on this team. He'll figure it out, and he'll figure it out in a hurry. Again, you're either all in or you're out. That's the way it is. And one thing I've said over and over again, and I'm going to continue to say it, if you don't play hard for Dave Yeager, you're not playing. All right? There will not be the effort issues this year that we saw last year. I don't believe. Actually, I'll just say it won't happen. All right? You are not going to hear effort questions this year. You know, even I had to ask George Carl, how many times did I have to ask George Carl on my weekly show with George about effort last year? Honestly, what would you say? 7-8 times? Right? I had to ask George Carl in January of last year if the team had quit on him. I had to ask George Carl in January if the team had not been receiving his message. I mean, that was in January, for crying out loud. Well, guess what? It's not happening this year. Not happening this year. So if you want to talk Kings basketball, hey, it's not too early. Again, less than 2 weeks before the start of the season in terms of training camp. And then October 4th, the Kings open up preseason down at Anaheim at the Pond against the L.A. Lakers. 2 nights later, they'll be in San Jose against the Warriors. And then preseason action will be underway. I'm hearing phenomenal things coming out of the Golden 1 Center. I've talked to some people that have been in the Golden 1 Center in the last 72 hours, and they're raving about it. They're just like, wait till you see this place. And it's got me excited. I cannot wait. I mean, cannot wait. It's awesome. You're going to have an opportunity. Go to kings.com to get all the information about the open practice that the Kings are going to be having coming up. I believe it's a week from Saturday. Again, go to kings.com for all the information on that. So again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Getting tons of text already on the Kings. I'm not even going to read all of them, all right, because I don't want to start off on a negative note, all right? A lot of text coming in about DeMarcus and the coach and the team, all right? This is a new year with a new coaching staff, but not a new coaching staff. All right, this coaching staff has got a ton of experience. Dave Yeager has already proven that it can work with a variety of different players because he had to do it in Memphis. Dave Yeager was very successful in Memphis, and so the past is the past. Now, I know that, you know, you can call me up and you can send me all kinds of text messages, you know, about, well, it's always been this way and it's always been that way and this has always been. Hey, I get that, okay? But I'm looking at it this way, all right? I'm saying to myself, and if you don't want to go there, that's fine. I completely understand it. But I'm looking at where we are as a community with a brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art arena, with a new coaching staff, somewhat of a new front office because Vladdy is only starting a second year. Now he's got Ken Catanella, who's starting his first year with the Kings, and the rest of the front office. And now I'm like, okay, let's try to, and again, I know people are saying, God, come on, really, Grant? But this is the way I'm approaching it. You can approach it however you want. I'm telling you how I'm approaching it. I'm approaching this as everything is new. All right? Everything is new. I'm going to judge this coaching staff and this team based on this year. Not going to judge individual players, and I'm not going to judge what's happened in the past because, you know what, I'm starting like fresh. New arena, new coaching staff, several new players, I'm starting fresh. If we get to a situation that pops up in October or November or December where we're talking about detrimental things going on with the team, then at that point we'll discuss them. But I don't know about you, but I put the past to bed. The arena's gone. Talking about Arco Sleep Train. We'll take the memories with us, but I'm looking at a clean slate. Clean slate. And I know people say, well, gee, you say that every year. You know, I have said that a lot. I probably have said it more than I should have. But in this situation, with this new arena, new coaching staff and everything else, that's my approach. And when we get towards the first game on October 26th and I'm broadcasting from the arena in Phoenix as the Kings play on the road to open up the season, then we'll start zeroing in on how we think this team is going to be based on what we saw in the preseason. So you can handle that however you want. You know, you all know I'm a big New York Giants fan. Ben McAdoo, the new head coach of the Giants, was asked about all the close games that the Giants had lost after the Dallas game last year. He asked, and he said, you know what, we're looking through our windshield. We're not looking in our rearview mirror. And that's exactly the way I'm approaching it. Let's move forward. Let's try to get out of the past. Let's start fresh. Let's see if Vladdy, the front office, and this coaching staff can figure out a way to get this team on the right path. That's my approach. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to talk about the college games coming up on Saturday, we'll do that as well. Again, there are some big games. You know, there's always the Thursday and Friday games, but when you look at Saturday, there are some really big games this weekend in college football. You know, last week, we kind of had a dud week. You know, it was kind of like, You know, we had that great, great opening weekend. You got Michigan State and Notre Dame coming up this weekend. That's 12 against number 18. You've got Ohio State and Oklahoma this weekend. Ohio State at Norman, number 3 against number 14. You've got USC trying to bounce back from that embarrassing loss in Dallas 2 weeks ago against Alabama. They're on the farm at number 7, Stanford. Some really good college games coming up this weekend. So if you want to zero in and talk about some of those, speaking of Alabama, they are at Ole Miss, number 1 against number 19. So good, some very good college football games, and I didn't even mention, I guess I probably should have started off with Florida State, Louisville, because that game is in Louisville. And the Seminoles and the Cardinals, that could be as good of any game on the college football weekend. So if you want to mix in some college football, we'll do that as well. Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com, he is going to be joining me at 3:30. We'll talk to him about some college football as well, as LandryFootball.com is an awesome website. So we'll talk with Chris coming up in a little bit. All right, let's get it showing with Gordon. What's up, Gordon?
Hey, Grant. How you doing, sir?
Gordon, what's going on today?
A couple of things. I completely agree with you as far as the new slate for the Kings. Not many of the communities have what we have regarding the new arena and stuff, and I'm excited to see what happens, you know. So my take on that part. Second thing, sir, is I want to get your take on Denver-Indianapolis come Sunday. How do you think we're going to do?
One of the most disappointing performances that I saw this weekend in terms of not winning was the Indianapolis Colts, you know, at home against the Lions. But now Indianapolis is in one of those situations where if they start off 0-2, they're way behind the eight ball. Well, guess what? They're starting off 0-2. I think Denver will win this game at home. Now, I will tell you this, Gordon. If the game were at Indianapolis, I would flip a coin on this, but it's not in Indianapolis. It's at Denver. I do think the Colts will have trouble scoring what they need to score against the Denver defense. So in this game, I'm going with Denver at home.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. A lot of text messages coming in about, well, what happens if the Kings start really badly? Well, then, you know me. I don't duck the reality. You know me. I understand. So I have no problem with that. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. All right, 339-1140, and again, 800-920-1140. For those that want to talk about baseball, we got time to do that. The Giants are quickly falling and falling fast. They have continued to fall, and they are still falling, and there is no one to catch them. Some real surprising, I'll tell you another team that's falling, and that has to be the Toronto Blue Jays. They lost again today. All right. They lost again today. And when you look at the Blue Jays, they're at home today. They lose 8-1. That is their 66th defeat. The Yankees are playing the Dodgers. They're being delayed by rain. The Yankees are now within just a game of the loss column behind Toronto for the wild card. The Cardinals, who are in San Francisco for a big weekend series beginning tomorrow, they get blanked by John Lester and the Cubs today, 7-0. Again, Cardinals, Giants coming in for four this weekend. The Nationals are leading the Mets in the top of the eighth by the score of 1-0. So your standings now, and particularly the wild card standings in the American League, Baltimore and Toronto have 65 and 66 losses, respectively. Detroit has 67 losses. The Yankees have 67 losses. And Seattle has 68. In the National League, the Giants have 67 losses. They're three outs away from 68 losses. The Mets currently have 68 losses. The Cardinals have 69 losses. So if the Giants lose today, they will only have a one-game lead in the loss column over St. Louis. And that puts this weekend series at an absolute big-time premium. As a matter of fact, and I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again, you could make the argument that the four games coming up against St. Louis are more important than the following three games against the Dodgers. Because the reality is that the Dodgers are only going to have to win one game of the three. All right? That's all they're going to have to do. They'll only lose one game in the standings that way. This is a huge, huge series coming up. And what a matchup tomorrow with Adam Wainwright going against Johnny Cueto. But this is going to be huge. I mean, you want to talk about if a team has a chance or not? We may come on the air Monday and talk about the Giants' season is over. That's how big of a series this is. Going to be huge. Whether the Giants win or lose today, it is going to be absolutely huge. So we'll come back. We'll talk with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. That's coming up next right here on the Grant Napier Show. Well, we're going to talk football with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. And remember, you can ask the scout. You just go to KHTK.com and click on Ask the Scout and submit your questions to Chris, and we'll answer them on air as well online at KHTK.com. And you really need to check out his website. It's outstanding, LandryFootball.com. He's offering a 50% discount on a one calendar year subscription. That's $49 instead of the normal $99, and $25 of your $49 subscription cost will go towards assisting recent flood victims in the Baton Rouge area. With that said, we bring in Chris Landry. Good afternoon. How are you today, Chris?
I'm doing good, Grant. Hope you all is well with you.
Everything is great. You know, there's obviously a lot of buzz in Northern California with how the Raiders and 49ers looked. I want to start with the Raiders and obviously a gutsy move by Jack Del Rio. And I've said this before, so I never understood why more teams don't try to go for the win in that situation. But give me your thoughts on what the Raiders accomplished.
Well, I think it's, to me, it's very, very situational, and this situation was, and it was a great performance. Anytime you can outscore a Drew Brees-led offense in the dome, and that's what the Raiders did. And quite frankly, neither defense was able to stop the other's offense. So I think they felt like, look, we've got an advantage. Offenses had the advantage.
Sure.
And so, look, we can go ahead and run the risk that Saints win the toss, they take it down, score a touchdown, and we never touch it, or we take our chances here. I think under other circumstances where you're playing good defensively, I'm not going to take a chance on a relatively low percentage chance of a two-point play. But in this case, probably in their eyes, it was a higher percentage to take a chance here rather than run the risk of putting your defense on the field and not being able to stop them. So I understand it. It was a good play, good performance. And, man, the Saints secondary is bad to begin with. And when Delvin Bro went out,
oh boy,
I knew they felt like they had the advantage. And at that point, it's just making a play. I mean, it's going to be we're going to crowd them up and we're going to go one-on-one. And you just have to go make a play there. and they did.
Speaking of secondary, Sean Smith had a terrible Raider debut. He got benched in the third quarter. Surprising to you that he played that poorly?
Yeah, you know, listen, some of it's communication. Some of it, you know, I expect to be corrected. And some of it's just, you know, Drew Brees can make you look silly. I mean, he can isolate guys, and Thomas played well, Brooks played well, Snead played well, all receivers for the Saints. The Saints defense not very good defensively, but boy, they can light you up on offense, particularly in the dome, and they did it. They made a lot of people look bad, but I don't necessarily look at it as a negative sign going forward. It's a negative, of course, but I think that's something that can get corrected. It's not like, well, the guy can't play anymore, we benched him. It was communication assignment flaws that was causing a lot of big plays.
All right, let's talk about the 49ers. They win 28-0, and the question I've had is, how do you really gauge how well the 49ers played with the ineptitude that the Rams offense appeared to have?
Well, you don't. You move on, you play well, you do your job. Yes, they played against a bad Rams offense. So if you're looking at it defensively and saying, oh, this defense is going to be great, we're going to lock people down, and but then you're probably going to be misguided there, because you will be playing offenses that are going to stress you a lot more than the Rams are capable of doing. However, you do your job, you play well. I thought they did. I thought they were physical. I thought they beat them at the line of scrimmage. All those things are positive. That's all you can do is go out and play and move on to the next game. The alternative is, you know, you play that bad of a performance and lose. So I would say this, that I still would, after the 1 week, and it's 1 week, that I would still put the Niners and the Rams in the bottom of the NFC West. And at this point, I'd put them in that order at third and fourth. And I think they're all looking up at Arizona and Seattle, although Arizona missed a big opportunity on Sunday night.
All right, we're talking with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. The word that the terminology is travel, and Josh Norman stays on one side of the field. That's been the talk after the Monday night game, where Antonio Brown had a lot of a success on the other side of the field. Try to explain to the fans why that it is that Josh Norman just stays on one side of the field.
Well, it's a little bit, and you see this some, although they're adjusting it a little bit more with the Richard Sherman. And it's a left side, right side. There are a couple of things. When you move a guy from one side to the other, there are more communication issues and more potential breakdowns. It's easier if you can stay on one side, and particularly in a zone concept, you can make adjustments. And particularly against tempo offenses, it makes it a lot better to be able to stay on one side. However, if you've got a deficiency on the other side, you have to find a way to get your best defender to cover their best receiver, in this case, Antonio Brown. So that's the concept, and hope that's a short version of understanding why some do that. But in the case of flipping, it allows you to get more versatility in matchup on matchup. But, and you can do it, you got to coach it, but you're more susceptible to mistakes, as you can understand, because you get some more misaligns. You know, a little late adjusting, and all of a sudden you got a big play, not because you were beaten, but because you were late adjusting to it. So you just got to be able to coach it up, and you got to be able to get it adjusted quickly. But I'm a big believer, and you got to get, when you're getting beat, it's fine to stay left side, right side, not flip. But when you've got an issue, you better be prepared to move them. And that includes Josh has got to be in a comfort level to be able to move from one side to the next. And he's been a little resistant to that, as was Richard Sherman, by the way, but they're moving him around a little bit more. And it's easier to do, Grant, when you got a good corner on both sides, but when you don't, you've got to be able to make that adjustment, I think.
We're talking with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. The talk of the preseason was Dak Prescott, and after breaking down that game, he only had two completions of 15 yards or more. We know that Dez Bryant only had one ball. The thing that surprised me the most in that game was the Giants' ability to completely shut down the Dallas running game behind that offensive line. But when you look at Dak Prescott, how much of the inability to get the ball down the field was the way the Giants' scheme was, and how much it was Dak Prescott?
Well, it was the inexperience of Dak. Dak's a one-read quarterback. So the Giants' game plan, as I thought it would be, they were going to crowd the line of scrimmage, and that's how people are going to play the Cowboys. Take away the run and force Dak to beat you. They're going to roll coverage towards Dez Bryant, and it's going to be up to Dak to be able to more quickly be able to find the secondary option. Right now he's a one read and one run quarterback. They're going to get him outside the pocket. I'm not surprised at all the Giants had success. I thought they would. It's going to be tough for him. There's no doubt he's going to have to grow and learn. I expect that he will. But, you know, I think we kind of warned people, didn't we, that, you know, don't expect the numbers and the success in preseason to translate to the NFL. You're not facing the same type of players, nor are you facing a team that scheme to defeat your offense. Now he's seeing it. But he'll have his moments. He'll have positive moments, and he'll have moments that he's going to have to learn from. They're going to have to run it better. I didn't think the run blocking, pass blocking was a bigger issue with the Cowboys, but there were some holes. I didn't think the backs hit the hole hard, and I didn't think they played as well up front as they need to, because that's going to determine their success offensively, because I think Dak is going to have some growing pains.
All right, I want to talk to you about a college game or two, and there's a really big game in Louisville, Florida State and Louisville coming up on Saturday. Break that game down for me.
Well, I think Florida State has better overall talent. I think Louisville is certainly going to be hyped up. This is the biggest game in Louisville football history at home. All the histrionics and pageantries and trappings around this big game. Lamar Jackson is a great athlete. He's got good arm talent. He's the best runner for Louisville at the quarterback position, and he can throw it well. I think this is an underrated Louisville defense. I think they're going to play it well. I think Florida State finds a way to win these type of games. But I will say this. If Florida State digs themselves a hole early like they have done in the past, they might not be able to come back in this environment. We'll see. But Florida State should win it with overall better personnel. But here's the greatness of college football. This game is probably an elimination game for the Atlantic division, but for these two teams,
sure.
Clemson's still in it, not playing well. But the loser here is going to have a hard time winning in the Atlantic. It says a lot for a September 17th game.
All right, we don't have time to break all the games down, but let's pick out I'm going to give you a game because I think this is an intriguing matchup with a 12 against an 18, Michigan State at Notre Dame.
Well, I think that Michigan State's lost a lot. They've got a great talent, Malik McDowell. It's about slowing down Notre Dame's running game, keeping DeShone Kizer controlled. The secondary is not great for Michigan State, but it's good. I think Notre Dame's got a little better overall talent. We know how well Michigan State plays from a toughness and technique standpoint.
I wish I had a ticket for Memorial Stadium in Norman Saturday because I love Oklahoma-Ohio State matchup. Your thoughts on that?
It's going to be a great one, I think. I think Oklahoma's backs are against the wall. Ohio State's better. And defensively, I think they've got the makeup to control this Sooner offense. Baker Mayfield's playing well. They run the football well with Perrine and Mixon. That's going to be the key for Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma matches up well in the secondary at corner. JT Barrett's playing well, but Ohio State's not clicked on offense. If Ohio State plays their best game, they're the better team. They win it. And again, that would definitely eliminate, with two losses, an Oklahoma team from national playoff conversations.
All right, time to ask the scout. This is a question from Kyle, Chris, and his question is, who do you think will start in Minnesota at quarterback this week?
You know, I'm not going to count out Sam Bradford starting. I just don't know if they're going to put him in this environment or if he's quite ready yet. I know he's making progress. I don't know. I'm gonna say Sam Bradford. I think he's close enough to where they'll probably pull the trigger on starting him. I think definitely next week.
All right, next question from Malcolm. How do you think C.J. Anderson will fare in the next few weeks with Denver?
You know, he ran the football well. The offensive line blocked well against a good defensive front. Listen, they're going to rely on him running the football, so I would expect him to have a really good year because he's going to be a focal point in getting a rhythm. They're going to have to with this offense. That's how this offense is being built.
All right, final thing, and I have a question for you, and it has to do with tomorrow night's game in Buffalo and Rex Ryan. Is he on a hot seat up there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Pakula family has definitely kind of made it known that Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan are coaching for their job without saying it. A lot of pressure here, pressure game to win. You know, the Jets played well up front defensively last week, but they lost. It's a big game for
sure
both. But certainly I think in terms of the hot seat and who potentially could lose their job, I think this game is tough. It's, you know how owners look at it too. Bruce Smith's number is going to be retired. It's in Buffalo. It's prime time. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure to get things done here. Neither offense looked good. The Bills or the Jets. Poor Fitzpatrick looked poorly under pressure last week. And the Bills have got to find a way to run the football, take some of the pressure off of Tyrod Taylor. But, yeah, I think under a lot of pressure is Rex.
Chris, great stuff. Look forward to chatting with you next week. Enjoy the weekend of football, and we'll see what happens. And again, folks, I encourage everyone to go to LandryFootball.com, and you can ask the scout. Also, Chris is offering a great deal on his one calendar year subscription. All the information is there for you at LandryFootball.com. Chris, thanks as always.
Thank you, Grant. I appreciate it, bud.
Take care. All right. We'll be right back. Your phone calls next here on the Grant Napier Show. All right, we are back with you. Always good to talk with Chris Landry. The game is in the books, and the Giants at home get swept by the San Diego Padres. How do you lose to a team at home three games in a row that entered play at 59-84? How is it that you come in to start a series, three games, and you can't beat a team that was 59-84. How pathetic are the Giants right now? Awful. And you know what's amazing to me is that they have been this bad, and they are still right now, if the season ended, a playoff team. That to me is mind-boggling. Now, let's update the wild card standings. The Giants lose, they're 77-68. The Mets lose, they're 77-69. The Cardinals lose, they're 76-69. Guess who's in town for four beginning tomorrow night? That's right, the St. Louis Cardinals. And then guess where the Giants go after that? That's right, L.A. against the Dodgers. How awful is this to watch if you're a Giants fan? How do you blow that game last night in the ninth inning? How can you not win a game against the San Diego Padres? Are you kidding me or what? This is the same team that swept you to start the second half after the All-Star game, right? And you know what else is bad? Since you can't beat the Padres, is after you play the Cardinals for four, after you play the Dodgers for three, guess where you go after that? You go to San Diego for four. And you can't beat the – I mean, this is unbelievable to me. How awful are the Giants right now? How frustrating for the fans to see a Giants team – that played so well in the first half, and they can't do anything right in the second half. I mean, it's not like they were off for 4 weeks. It's a couple of days during the All-Star break. You know, you play your game on Sunday, and then you play again on Friday. You know, it's not like you should have lost everything in a span of 5 days, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. Really is. How on earth can you get swept at home by the San Diego Padres? I don't get it. Terrible. All right, give me your thoughts at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. By the way, Madison Bumgarner got the loss today. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you're not scoring. If you can't score, or you only score on one run a game, or I mean, it's just amazing to me. It really is. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Nobody can hit the ball out of the yard. You know, no one can come in the ninth inning to save a game. It's pathetic. And it's amazing to me that the Giants right now are still a wild card team. How does that happen? How can you play this badly and still be a wild card team? Incredible. By the way, the Giants are 62-7 when entering the ninth inning with the lead. And you may think, gee, that's really good. Well, guess what? It's the worst record in Major League Baseball. Incredible. They have lost 35 games since the All-Star break. That's unbelievable to me. I don't get it. Frustrating, to say the least, if you're a fan of the San Francisco Giants. Unbelievable. And, you know, at what point are we going to say, well, okay, you know what, that's it. It truly is football season in the Bay Area. You're not there yet because they're still a playoff team, but they are fading as quickly as can be. Can you imagine someone telling you in early July that the 7 games coming up with St. Louis and the Dodgers back-to-back, the Giants would be fighting for their playoff lives every single game? Amazing. It really is. All right, we've got hour number two coming up. If you're a 49er fan, I'm going to talk with Ted Robinson, the outstanding voice of the 49ers. That's coming up next right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.